This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. People with a living faith will embrace a specific wisdom that reflects itself in distinctly Christian conduct. How do we find the right wisdom to follow? Today, Pastor Sam Horn will continue to unpack the nature of true wisdom in a sermon from James chapter 3 titled, A Word to the Wise About Being Wise. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
Spiritually maturing people embrace a specific kind of wisdom which cultivates in them uniquely Christian virtues. All right? Spiritually maturing people embrace a specific kind of wisdom which cultivates in them uniquely Christian virtues. And then those virtues are displayed in a consistent Christian conduct. And so we're going to unpack that together this morning, all right? Spiritually maturing people, and James calls for those people. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? He's saying, listen, if you are in this category, then I'm about to talk very directly to you. Spiritually maturing people embrace a specific kind of wisdom which cultivates in them unique Christian virtues that display themselves in distinct Christian conduct. So virtues and conduct are going to be at the heart of where James heads with this idea about wisdom. So we need to talk about wisdom today. Let's let James teach us a few things about wisdom. And let's start with this. Number one, the nature of that true wisdom. The nature of that true wisdom. And James is going to make four main ideas around that concept. Who is wise and understanding? You see the word wise and understanding, those two terms? Well, they're going to show up in a number of places this morning that I'm going to call your attention. So when we talk about the nature of true wisdom, James would say it this way. The nature of wisdom, the kind of wisdom that I'm talking about is this. It is spiritual and it is not worldly. It is spiritual and it is not worldly. That's the first thing James is going to want you to see about this wisdom. It is spiritual and it is not worldly. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, back in chapter 2, James said there are two kinds of faith that people have. And when they talk to you about the faith, it sounds remarkably the same. The same language comes out of their mouth. This is what I believe. I believe this about Jesus. I believe this about God. I believe this about the scripture. So what comes out of their mouth sounds remarkably the same, but there are two kinds of faith. One is a living faith, and the other is a dead faith. And James is going to make a big deal back in chapter 2 about those two kinds of faith. Here in chapter 3, he's going to do the same thing with wisdom. He is going to say there are two kinds of wisdom, and they both talk remarkably alike. When you listen to what comes out about the wisdom, it is remarkably similar. But one wisdom is from above, and the other wisdom is from below. And so James is going to lay out these two kinds of wisdom. And so my way of saying that to you is one wisdom, the wisdom that's from above, is spiritual, and the other from below is worldly. There are some wisdoms the world has, and then there is a wisdom that God has given his people. Now, I told you we were going to be looking at some texts. If you have a Bible this morning, let me encourage you to go over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I want to show you this. Now, you'll remember the book of Deuteronomy comes at the very end of the first section of your Bible, the Pentateuch, and it is written to the second generation of Israelites who came out of Egypt. The first generation was delivered. They had gone through the Red Sea. They had experienced the Exodus. They got out into the wilderness, and because of their unbelief, that they exhibited repeatedly against the Lord, God finally said to them, you are not going in to the land I promised to give Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and you. You're not going in. But your children are going in. And so by the time the first generation had died and the second generation had come to the forefront, Moses, now an old man, is going to give them his sort of final exhortation, his final reminders, and that is the book of Deuteronomy. And right at the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says, now when you go into that land, there is a wisdom that God has given you that is going to be very different from the wisdom of all of the other nations that are around you. And so that's the background to what I'm about to read you. Listen to what Moses says when he says this. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, who when they hear all of these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Moses is saying to these people, listen, when you go into that land, there are all of these nations. In fact, when you read the book of Acts, you find out there are seven different nations that occupy the land these people are about to go in. And every one of those nations has a wisdom they occupy and they operate by. Every one of those nations has a way that they think will help them get rain. Every one of those nations has a wisdom that they think will help them win a war. Every one of those nations has a wisdom by which they operate, and they think maybe this will help our fields be productive. This will help the river rise. This will allow us to do all the things that we need to do as a nation. Every nation had a wisdom. And God said to his people, I am going to give you true wisdom. I'm going to give you true understanding. And when you go into that land and the other nations observe this wisdom and what it does for you, their jaw is going to drop. They're going to look at you and they're going to say, this is amazing. This nation has an amazing wisdom. And they're going to come to you and they're going to say, how do you do that? How do you get rain the way you get rain? Because when we want rain and we're desperate for it, we have to feed our children to the river so the river will rise. Or we have to give our children to be burned in front of our gods so that our gods will give favor to our fields. But you don't have to do any of that. How is it that you have a wisdom that brings you rain? How is it that you have a wisdom that makes your fields grow? How is it that you have a wisdom that does all of this? Surely you are a wise and an understanding people, because you have a God that is near to you. That's what James has in mind when he's talking about the two kinds of wisdom. He's looking at people who live in all the little kingdoms of the world, but they are part of the big kingdom over which Jesus is the king. And just like God gave to his Old Testament people a wisdom, God has given to every person who lives in the big kingdom a wisdom that is different than the wisdom that drives all the little kingdoms of the world. And James says, now that's the wisdom that needs to drive you. It is the wisdom that is spiritual. And then he says this, wisdom is inherently relational. The wisdom that we're talking about that is so different from the wisdom of all the other little kingdoms of the world, the wisdom James has in mind isn't just wisdom that is spiritual, it is wisdom that is inherently relational. Listen to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. All through the Old Testament, we're going to run into this phrase, the fear of the Lord. And so let me just kind of put that phrase in context for you. In the Old Testament, the idea of the fear of the Lord became a standard way of talking about somebody. Just like we have a standard way of talking about Christians today, we would say, are you a believer? Are you a genuine Christian? Are you born again? You know, are you recognizing this language? We would look at one another and we would say to one another, well, you know, tell me how you got born again. We just finished our last Sunday was our final Sunday for this round of PBC 101. And we'll have another one coming up soon. So if you're interested, you can let the church office know, and I'm sure they'll be glad to put you in that next round. But the last Sunday of every PBC 101, we call it story time. And it's an opportunity for everybody to tell their story. And the part of the story that we're all eager to hear is how that person became a what? A Christian. How were they born again? And we're not looking for just head knowledge, right? We're not looking for someone to just say, well, I know about Jesus. He came down from heaven. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died and he rose again. No, we're looking for this intimate relationship. We're looking for the fact that this person has genuinely been born again. You know what I'm talking about? The Old Testament way of talking about that was the fear of the Lord. In New Testament times, we ask, are you born again? In Old Testament times, it would be, do you fear the Lord? Are you fearing the Lord? And that's what James has in mind. This kind of wisdom is the kind of wisdom that only comes to a person who knows the Lord, who is rightly related to the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the source of wisdom. That's the idea of the term beginning. It's the origin of wisdom. It's the source of wisdom. It's the fountainhead from which all other wisdom flows. And so James is picking up on this idea, and he is arguing that the kind of wisdom that comes from above is only available to people who are rightly related to God, because God is the source of that wisdom, and out of him is the flow of that wisdom. You can't get this wisdom any other way. And then James says something else. It's primarily moral and ethical in nature. It's spiritual and not worldly. It is inherently relational, and it is primarily moral and ethical. Listen to Job 28. Job said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And then he goes on to say this, and to turn away from evil is understanding. Wisdom, the kind of wisdom that Job is talking about, the kind of wisdom that James is talking about, is going to display itself in the cultivation of moral and ethical character. Let me give you an illustration. Maybe that will help us. I'm assuming that most of you, all of you, have a computer, you own a computer, or you use a computer, right? So let me just do a little test here. How many of you have a PC computer? Can I see your hands? Hold your hands up high. I'm about to start a church war here. How many of you have a PC? All right, hold your hands up high. All right, you hold your hands up high. All right. How many of you have an Apple product? You have a Macintosh, all right? You guys hold your hands up high. All right. Okay, what's the difference between the two? And you're like, worlds of difference, Pastor, right? There's a reason I'm a PC, and that's because I am a godly person. You know, if you have a Macintosh, it's got an apple on it. And it's not the apple in the tree. It's the one that fell from the tree, and somebody took a bite of it and just plunged the whole world into whatever we're in, right? And I'm going, that is really bad exegesis. You know, full disclosure, I have a Macintosh computer, so I'm a little prejudiced. But you know what's interesting about that? Each of those has a completely different what? Operating system. You can have a $2,500 souped-up laptop with all of the bells and whistles, but if you don't have the operating system for that laptop, what good is it? It does nothing. The operating system is what makes everything else possible. And whether it's a Macintosh or a PC, it has an operating system that is unique, and it drives everything that happens internally in that machine. And James is saying this, the kind of wisdom that we're talking about that is spiritual and it is relational and it produces moral character and ethical behavior, that kind of wisdom is the operating system of your life. And if there are only two kinds of wisdom, then one of those wisdoms is going to be driving the way you think. It's going to be driving how you operate. It's going to be driving how your character is shaped. It's going to be driving all of the things that come out of you. Wisdom, according to James, is like the operating system of the heart. And that's why wisdom, for James, the fourth thing is this, wisdom is experiential rather than merely intellectual. For James, wisdom isn't just what you know, and it's not just what you accomplish. It is who you are. It is who you are and what comes out of who you are. Wisdom is inherently relational. And so when James calls for those who are wise and understanding, he's actually thinking of someone who knows God and whose life is being shaped according to that knowledge, that relationship with God. So on the one hand, if wisdom is the operating system of your heart, another way of thinking about wisdom when we're talking about it being experiential is this. It's hearing and doing. It's actually producing things in your life. And so if wisdom is the operating system of your heart, then wisdom is also the transmission of your life. Think about your car. Think about all the power that's under the hood or that you wish were under the hood. Think about, you know, all that your car is and how much you paid for it. And if that car landed in your driveway without a transmission, how far are you going to get? I mean, you've got all the power, you got all the cylinders, you got all the electrical system, you got this killer sound system inside, it's got this awesome paint job, it's got, I mean, smoking hot tires. I mean, this vehicle is your dream car, but it doesn't have a transmission. All of that power never gets through the differential down into the gear system and into the wheels. And so you go nowhere. And so when James is talking about wisdom, these are the two illustrations maybe that will help us understand how to put what he's been talking about into some kind of usable framework. This wisdom from above is to be the operating system of our heart, and it is the transmission of our life. All right, so that's the nature of it, which is very different than any kind of wisdom that was going on in the nations around them. I mean, if you were reading this in James's time and you lived in the city of Ephesus, or maybe you lived in Thessalonica, or maybe you lived somewhere in what is now modern day Turkey. I mean, maybe you were over in Macedonia, you lived in Greece, and maybe you lived in Philippi or somewhere, and you heard this, and then you went out into the marketplace of life and you started talking about wisdom, everybody would have an idea about wisdom. And they said, oh yeah, we know about wisdom. And they would be looking for someone who had a deep understanding of the gods. Here's how the gods work. Or they would look for someone who had a deep understanding of the laws and the value system of the Roman Empire, or who knew the poets or the philosophers in the Greek world, or that were initiated deeply into the mysteries of the pagan religions. And they would look at somebody like that and say, now that is a wise man. That's what wisdom is. Or they might look at somebody and say, now that person over there, if you just knew that person, look at all the land he's accumulated. Look at all the villas that he's built. Look at the position he occupies in the Roman Senate. Look at the climb he has made in the social world of our day. And they would look at a man like that and they would say, now that is a wise man. But the kind of wisdom that James is talking about, when that kind of wisdom showed up in somebody's life, nobody would have considered that wisdom. Because this wisdom does the exact opposite. It's not measured in how high you get. It's not measured in how much you accumulate. It's not measured in how much you know or how much respect you have or what you received. It's measured in one thing. Are you living in ways that display the beauty of God? Are you living in ways that display the beauty of the living God? Remember the wisdom that God gave to ancient Israel? This book of the law, these statutes, these rules will be your wisdom in the sight of the nation. And when they see what comes out of that wisdom in your life, they're going to want to know about your God. They're going to think of you as a wise and discerning nation, and they're going to want to know how you have such an amazing relationship with your God, because our gods don't do anything like this for us. And in James's day, when James's readers would live by this wisdom, that was to be the result. And Peter actually talks about this in chapter 1 of his book when he says that when you live according to the wisdom from above, the people are going to look and they're going to see your good conduct and they're going to glorify God on the day that he chooses to visit. So this is a stunning wisdom. And that brings us to the second big idea that James has in this paragraph for us, and that is the source of wisdom. Where do we find this wisdom? And in verse 17, he says it this way, wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. It's sourced in God. God is the only place where you can find this wisdom. There isn't any other place to get it. You can search for it. Job said, where do I find it? You can search for it. This is how Job described it in chapter 28 of Job. He said this, I know where to go to find silver. I know where to go to find gold. I know how to tunnel under mountains to find hidden treasure. I know where to go to find those things. But where do I go to find the kind of wisdom that I'm looking for? And James's answer to that question is this. There is only one place where you can find that wisdom. It's not available anywhere else. You can go to every temple in Rome. You can go to every school at Ephesus. You can go to every Senate meeting. You can go to everything you want to go to in the pagan world around you. And James says you will never find this wisdom, because this wisdom has only one source. It is from above. It is God. He's already said that, right, in chapter 1, verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him do what? Let him go and get a graduate degree at the school of Tyrannus. Or let him go study at the feet of the Greek philosophers. Is that what he said? If any man lack wisdom, let him go where? Let him go to God and what? Ask. God is the only source of this wisdom. And where has God located the wisdom physically? Where has he put the wisdom? Where has he put the wisdom? You know where he's put the wisdom? You're holding it in your hand. God sent living wisdom in the person of Jesus, but he wrote a book with all of the wisdom he wants you to have about Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for Sunday morning worship at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about PBC, please email radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.